This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's a session where you get your questions answered. You can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. I'm joined today by Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. We work together with patients at the Hoffman Center. Layla also sees patients independently. She's a registered dietitian, and she has an advanced master's degree in the field of nutrition. And so without further ado, welcome. How are you doing, Layla?
I'm all right, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, man. We're having just lovely fall weather here in New York. Notwithstanding the ubiquitous sirens that you may hear in the background, because, you know, just to add a little air of authenticity, we are recording here in New York. And in spite of the fact that our studio is in a skyscraper, you know, the streets are teeming with action and mayhem, as usual here in New York.
Welcome to New York.
So, so this week, I mean, I'm sure you're aware, Layla, that big brouhaha, actually this came up last week, was a study that shows that over 23,000 Americans are likely to end up in the emergency room this year due to complications resulting from taking supplements. And so we had to do some specific damage control on that particular story because the story is rather misleading. And, you know, I think we did a capable job because rather quickly we mustered the facts. There's a great article that is at anh-usa.org, which I helped to prepare. And also, they've got a great video there. I don't know if you've seen the video, but I posted the video on Facebook. And it's a great little short cartoon video, which is a great, you know, for people get kind of lost in the weeds, you know, with long, detailed written articles. It's a great way of portraying some of the simple facts about this issue. So check it out at anh-usa.org. And also, my last week's newsletter article was a very, very detailed, lengthy rebuttal of the study conclusions. And, you know, but I got to say that we have to admit that there are some supplements out there that aren't worth taking. I think you would agree that, you know, you'd be one of the first to admit that there are poor quality supplements out there. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that we are, you know, have to heavily regulate supplements, you know, virtually regulate them out of existence. But it does mean that consumers need to exercise caution. You play a useful role, Layla, when you consult with clients, and so do I, about, you know, they literally, we had a woman bring in two shopping bags full of supplements the other day. And that was, there were so many supplements that we actually had to help her walk back to the parking garage because she had so many supplements. You know, she brought them in, we reviewed them, and, you know, some of them were fine, some of them were not so fine. And we had to help her discriminate because, you know, people can go a little overboard sometimes in supplement use.
That's true.
Especially if you have a medical condition.
Yeah, and just because there are a few unscrupulous, you know, manufacturers of vitamins, it doesn't, you know, a few bad apples should not spoil the whole what is it, bushel?
But I wouldn't even dignify it by calling them vitamins, because I think that there's a whole category of things that are not really nutritional. They're really kind of psychedelic things that are masquerading as dietary supplements. I mean, they're so-called energy supplements that are loaded with caffeine and other stimulants that can get, you know,
weight loss supplements,
things that speed up your metabolism and make you hyper. And, you know, the problem too is that not everybody takes these things as directed. You know, some people go overboard. Like we had this case of Lamar Odom, who was, the guy plunked down $75,000 to spend a week in a brothel in Nevada. Probably was doing coke and alcohol, and then decided to take 10 sexual enhancing natural Viagra pills, which these are notorious for containing actual, they're laced with actual medication, you know, especially kind of these illicit brands that are, you can't buy these in health food stores, but you get them kind of on the, in the underground. And they are potentially harmful. I mean, you wouldn't consider taking 10 Viagras, even if you were spending a week in a brothel.
The cocaine and the alcohol made him do it.
Right.
If he was in his right mind, who would,
the guy, when it comes to nutrition, I mean, the guy's a great basketball player, but probably not a rocket scientist as a, supplement consumer. And so, and maybe, who knows? I mean, maybe the whole thing was like a suicidal gesture. Maybe the guy was trying to go out with a bang. So a lot of publicity was attracted to that. And, now they're saying that we should regulate vitamin D and multivitamins as a result of that, very weird episode. So anyway,
it's not even an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah,
really.
I'm not going to belabor our audience today with this, this discussion, because you can get ample details on it. Go to anh-usa.org for some very good discussion and a nice video. And also go to drhoffman.com, because our feature article this week, a very lengthy rebuttal by yours truly to that, I think, rather overplayed study that was uncritically broadcast throughout the media.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, look, we're there for you. This is our mission statement. We are here to rationally interpret some of the information out there. Some people might say, well, why are you doing this? There's just so much health information out there. Why do we need yet another podcast?
Everyone has an agenda. I think there are still people out there who everything they read on the internet, they believe is true.
And I think we perform a useful function, because we provide, I think, a reasonable and rational interpretation of some of the alleged stories out there, and with perspective that can lend the consumer a little bit more balance, a little bit more understanding of what underlies these stories. I recently did an article about how you can evaluate a study, and that was
terrific.
Yeah, which looks at a lot of ways where studies may seem plausible, but then if you look behind the curtains, you can see that the methodology is flawed, or that they've got a hidden agenda, or that they're manipulating the data. And we help you look at the telltale signs that a study might be flawed. And this is a little bit what you and I do. And, we spend a lot of time in preparation for this show, in preparation for our patients, in preparation for our parents in some cases. In your case, anyway, right? Because you're taking care of your mom. Looking at the data and trying to make sense of it, because a lot of conflicting data, and it's coming fast and furious, and we need to interpret it rationally. Okay, enough said. So let's get to our questions, please.
Okay. We've got a question from Marianne. Marianne wants to know, for somebody with established coronary artery disease, somebody with advanced plaque in their arteries, would it be contraindicated for them to take a supplement which stimulates nitric oxide because there might be an increased risk of rupture? a plaque?
Okay, I looked at that question, and I think what accompanied it was a link to an article that supposedly highlights this potential hazard. Did you look at that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just basically narrowed it down from a very, very long article.
Okay.
So how would we answer this question?
Okay, so this is how we would answer this question. So first of all, the premier drug and only drug for people who had severe heart problems until about the 1960s. No, I take it back. There was also digoxin, which was actually originally made from extract of the foxglove plant. So there was digitalis, and then there was also this thing called nitroglycerin. Now, if it sounds like it's explosive, it actually is akin to the nitroglycerin, which is an explosive, and that's a powerful nitrate, which has vasodilating effects. It expands the blood vessels, improves the blood flow. So, I don't know if you are a fan of old movies, but there's some old movies which are thrillers where the plot is, one of the characters gets a heart attack, and they're clutching their chest, and they're reaching for their medicine, and they're just crawling towards their medicine, but then you see their hand go limp, and they just don't make it to their life-saving medicine, because literally a dose of nitroglycerin taken appropriately could be life-saving. So if we accept that notion that those powerful medicinal nitrates are beneficial for the heart, you know, how can we say that, you know, a glass of beet juice or, you know, some super beets or Neo 40 could be harmful.
Or arginine.
Arginine could be. Well, arginine works on a little different basis. Mm. I mean, there's different pathways to enhance nitric oxide. But there's a kernel of truth to this, because the belief is that when the system is overloaded and people are deficient in antioxidants, that continuous excess stimulation with nitric oxide can generate some free radicals. It'd be like people who take Viagra every day. Well, actually, men are urged to take Cialis every day. Cialis is actually a daily medication used for not just erectile dysfunction, but to help the prostate. So we actually have this experiment underway where people are taking powerful nitric oxide-inducing medication every single day. And they don't seem to be coming to harm. But yet, on a theoretical basis, I would take more antioxidants. I would take more vitamin E. I would take, you know, the full spectrum of, phytonutrient antioxidants, things like resveratrol
and PhytoGuard
proanthocyanidins, maybe something like pycnogenol, which is a great circulatory enhancer, also an antioxidant. And I think that this is more of a theoretical risk than a real risk, because the very same people who are at risk for heart attacks are often prescribed nitrate medications. The newer medication is called Isradil. It's not used that often. It's most people undergo bypass.
My grandmother took Isradil.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little old-fashioned medication. Okay. Nowadays, most people don't need that because they right away get a stent or a bypass if they're having debilitating angina.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's kind of going
exactly
out of favor.
What was happening then in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, but that was the pre-stent, pre-bypass era where, you know, you did walk around and you had periodic chest pain, and then you'd, put one of these things under your tongue, and you'd have relief. So, I mean, I can't say that having a glass of beet juice is going to be harmful. That's a much milder stimulant of nitric oxide production than these super medications. I mean, with a medication like nitroglycerin, that's a real bomb.
Right. Okay. Marianne, thank you for your question. We've got another question from someone with the initials KR. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I have a question on something I came across in a popular men's magazine regarding cancer. And if what they say is true, it may be of interest to many people. If not, then the record needs to be set straight. And that's why they're posing us this question.
Right.
One thing I learned that as a cancer patient is that there's so many people profiteering on the tears of others. Something called Thunder God Vine is an herb that's native to the Far East. It says it's been shown by Asian scientists to facilitate a process called cancer cell death.
Apoptosis.
Right.
But by the way, that is a mechanism that is invoked with many natural cancer treatments like curcumin, EGCG. Yeah. You know, virtually all the natural anti-cancer agents have some they have some pro-apoptosis effects. In other words, they help to hasten the natural programmed cell death of cancer cells, because cancer cells are immortalized. They never die, and you actually want them to die like normal cells. So
So what we found in the science is that some lab findings suggest that Thunder God Vine may fight inflammation, just like so many other supplements can, suppress the immune system, and have anti-cancer effects. There was a study that compared Thunder God Vine root with the conventional medicine for rheumatoid arthritis, sulfasalazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that those with RA, their symptoms, the joint pain, inflammation, improved significantly with Thunder God Vine than with the sulfasalazine. But beyond that, there doesn't appear to be...
That's actually not even a fair comparison, because almost nobody uses sulfasalazine for rheumatoid arthritis anymore.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've used it in a couple of patients, and it because I had a feeling it would work, because they also had colitis, and sulfasalazine is actually a medication for colitis. So it might help the colitis and thereby impact the rheumatoid arthritis. But generally, it's not a very good medication for rheumatoid arthritis. Old medication, not in favor. So it's kind of like saying this new electric car that we've designed is faster than a Model T. You know, great. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's a high-performance race car. But go ahead.
And then, that's essentially it. It's been used as a folk remedy more for autoimmune conditions like RA, like MS, lupus. Not so much scientific evidence, though, to use it for any other health conditions. There are some side effects and cautions, though. It can cause severe side effects, or it can be poisonous if it's not carefully extracted from the skin's root, because other parts of the plant, the leaves, the flowers, are highly poisonous and can cause death. So anybody who's looking for this particular herb, you have to make sure that you're sourcing it properly.
Right. It's an element in traditional Chinese medicine. I haven't seen it too much vetted out by the mainstream supplement providers that we use. And there may be a reason for that there's some safety concerns about this. So,
this is interesting. Thunder God Vine contains chemicals that might decrease male fertility by changing sperm. This is something I'm actually getting from the National Institutes of Health and the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine.
Right, and I'm reading a WebMD post which says that large doses of Thunder God Vine might decrease the immune system. So they say don't take it when you're taking things that are immunosuppressive, which might be the case. For example, if you have an autoimmune condition, you might be taking Remicade or Humira, and they recommend that you do not take that at the same time. Or when you're taking steroids, which are immune suppressive, they don't suggest that you take that. That may or may not be overly cautious. But, we might explore that specifically for rheumatoid arthritis, although I think we have so many good things for rheumatoid arthritis that we're seldom tempted to reach for Thunder God Vine.
Right, right. ModuCare, RheumaShield, plenty of fish oil, a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, a nightshade-free diet.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things can be helpful before we would...
And then cancer, I just don't know. I'm not sure that... I'm looking, I'm Googling this, and I look at the... then I'm Googling under shopping, and I see that the manufacturers are not mainstream manufacturers. There is a manufacturer called Bonanza, which I haven't heard of. There's a manufacturer
I think that was the longest running show on television, was it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it grew on the Ponderosa. Who knows? You know. I'm thinking that it has not been highly adopted by mainstream manufacturers. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the next best undiscovered remedy for autoimmune disease and cancer, but
okay. Well, KR, probably not for this particular thing from what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for that very thoughtful question.
Indeed.
Let's see here. We've got a question from Karen. Dr. Hoffman, could you recommend an alternative method for removing warts?
Mm-hmm.
An alternative method for removing warts, okay, rather than cryosurgery?
Right. If you rub the skin of...
Apple cider vinegar.
Right, apple cider vinegar. You talked about apple cider vinegar.
Possibly, yes. Well, I've read some posts, but listen, don't... We don't know that this actually works. I've read some anecdotes of people soaking a cotton ball in apple cider vinegar, putting it on the wart, taping it onto the wart, and keeping it there for 24 hours or overnight and doing this for... I don't know what period of time.
Well, it makes sense. It's acidic, you know, and acidic compounds tend to inhibit viruses and may act as an exfoliant, you know, sort of peeling off the surface skin. So that may, you know, might be helpful. I was going to say, rub the skin of a toad on the wart at midnight under a full moon in the graveyard. That seems to work for some people. There are a lot of anecdotes about warts because warts tend to wax and wane, and there's a placebo effect. There really is a mind body effect. If you're doing a consistent therapy, whatever it is, it seems to work on the immune system. And so, you know, one of the most instructive things that happened in my understanding of how warts operate is I had a patient once who had I don't know what this patient had. This patient had some kind of condition, chronic fatigue syndrome or mononucleosis or something, where we were giving that patient intravenous vitamin C. And so I did it for a while, you know, a couple times a week, and then the patient came back after a month or so, and I said, how are you feeling? The patient said, great, I'm feeling great. And something very interesting happened. You know, I've had warts all my life on the back of my hands, and guess what? Ever since I've been doing the high-dose intravenous vitamin C, my warts are disappearing. So what I would conclude from that is that there isn't it's about your immunity. And if we enhance your immunity, say with high dose vitamin C or by any means, your own immune system is going to take care of that. Because let's face it, all of us are exposed to warts. You know, think of how many times we shake hands potentially with people with warts. And if we had no immune system whatsoever, our hands would be covered with warts.
And we'd all be dead.
Or, you know, we'd be all covered. We'd be consumed by warts. So so what differentiates a person who has warts from someone who doesn't have warts? It's not merely exposure. It's the condition of the terrain or the immune system that can withstand the virus that causes warts.
Yeah.
So, what are some things that have been shown to be helpful? Well, one thing specifically, DIM, diindol methane. Which is also, by the way, you know, like thunder god vine, it also promotes apoptosis and cancer. DIM is helpful for, it's been used in HPV, human papillomavirus. It's helpful for preventing HPV from causing cervical cancer, where we know that that's a viral-caused cancer. And, so those are some of the, we might want to use Empower, which is a natural killer cell enhancer. We know the natural killer cells fight viruses. Make sure patients have adequate zinc, selenium. Any more that you want to name for immune support?
More oral vitamin C, anyway.
Right. Vitamin D, certainly.
Vitamin D, yep. Make sure vitamin D levels are where they should be. Somewhere between 50 and 85 would be optimal for most people.
And there's a homeopathic remedy for warts that's highly touted that I used to use in the days where I was using more homeopathy. It's called Thuja, T-H-U-J-A, and it can be taken orally or applied topically to the wart. So these are among the things that can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, and the other thing, by the way, what I found very helpful for plantar warts, you know, the warts on the bottom of your feet, because I had suffered from them for a while, and duct tape. Just, you know, just
tape.
You know, apply duct tape. You know, just keep the duct tape on, and it will inhibit. It'll soften, and the warts will eventually dissolve. But you got to do it very religiously for a long period of time.
Wow!
Like I did it for 3 to 6 months, and they're virtually gone.
Wow!
Yep.
So no Dr. Scholl's.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. So I find that some of those products are a little too harsh, actually. When I had plantar warts and I actually had them as a child, they tried to burn them out, they tried to free them out, they tried to cut them out, and it just resulted in an extremely painful recovery period, and they just grew back. So these harsh methods are, you know, temporary but not definitive. And it wasn't until, you know, 40 years later in adulthood that I discovered duct tape. But, you know, that may not work for other types of warts on the surface of the skin.
Not it's inexpensive, too.
Did you see the movie The Martian yet?
No, I haven't.
That's how he survives on Mars, with duct tape. It's very, very versatile. Duct tape. Duct tape is
more
the answer for everything.
Duct tape.
Yeah. We all need to have some duct tape in our life. Okay, great. Yeah. So this concludes part one of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, because we divide our podcast into two parts. And we invite your questions. We also want to remind you that Layla Mudin and I practice together at the Hoffman Center. You're welcome to see us both, or you can see Layla individually. And the advantage to seeing Layla is that she can see you without seeing you. She can do a telephonic consultation, and you don't have to physically come to New York. Patients who see us both, we do a regular medical intake. And, you know, recently this week we had patients from Florida. We had patients from California. It's quite a diverse geographical crowd. Please support our broadcast, because we put a lot of time and effort into our broadcasts. And we'd love you to take advantage of our Hoffman Center store, which you can find at drhoffman.com. Just click on the store, and many of the products that we talk about during this podcast, you can buy the highest quality products there at reasonable prices. And we invite you to shop there for all your supplement needs, and thereby help to subsidize all this free information that you get. All right? Mm-hmm. So what's in part two? What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk more about strontium. How long can I take it?
All right. It's a hot topic, strontium for osteoporosis. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.